coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it. It is Old School on The Ticket, wrapping up your week of the normal 6-to-6 ticket programming. Austin Orman with you, joined not by Jay Foreman. He's handling business for Lincoln Lighthouse. Big deal for them. 35 years. Their gala is going off tonight. Congratulations to the Lighthouse. Thank them for all the great work they're doing in the community. So stepping up, stepping in for Jay Foreman. We got DP. DP, a happy Friday to you. How are you?
Happy Friday to you, kind sir, and to all of you. Each and every one of them. Each and every dang one listening. Happy Friday.
We got lots to get to in sports. Let's but as you know, this show often turns its attention to food, right? We are the show here on The Ticket who fall victim to the cartoon smoke smells.
Yes.
Coming out of the pies on the window or the bread out of the oven. That's who we are.
Right.
I'm sure you were listening, but I do just want to run this past you again. Terrell Farley, the black shirt, not just a black shirt, but the black shirt, said his hot dog combination is cheese and coleslaw. What?
What are you doing?
Am I missing something? Is he missing something? What's going on there?
So you understand that Farley is country. And I don't mean like in that placated, I'm Southern, and so therefore I am. No, he is country. Country. So, look, I made the point, spending time in Chicago, you go to different pockets of the country, hot dogs, different things.
You do it different ways, different places. I get that. I'm with it. Different things,
right? The only time cheese comes near a hot dog is if there's chili before the cheese.
And that cheese is shredded, not liquid.
Right. It is not squeezed cheese. It is not sliced cheese spread around the hot dog. It is certainly not cheese at the base of the bun with the hot dog on top.
Not like a Philly cheesesteak
that way. No, yeah. we're not doing that. And then here's my thing. The whole coleslaw thing falls in line deeply, deeply, deeply with sauerkraut. Same rules of engagement.
Sure.
And the same pockets of the country, as a matter of fact, that if you are of some European base where the slaw, the cabbage, the sauerkraut. Again, if that's your jam, look, sauerkraut people are different folks anyway.
Sauerkraut is from my people, and I'm not even one of them people.
Right.
Like it's not for me.
Different people. Different people. And I'm not mad at you for being a sauerkraut person. I just remember if you wanted my eyes to water, just say sauerkraut. Just say the word sauerkraut. Because 8-year-old DP biting into the first hot dog with sauerkraut on it did a thing. Like, it was a thing, man. You want to talk, like, you know in movies where you hear the record scratch? Like, that was the sound that was made in my brain, in my soul, to my core, biting into a hot dog with sauerkraut on it. Then I had a friend who would do mustard and sauerkraut. And it was the spicy mustard with the sauerkraut. And then his dad goes, that's for boys. He then took fried onion and put it with the sauerkraut. And I ran away.
Kicking and screaming and...
I ran home and reported them to my mother. Mom, guess what? I saw aliens. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You know how I know they were aliens? Sauerkraut and onions on their hot dog. And she says, baby, it's going to be okay.
You're safe now.
She gave me a hug. And we went, matter of fact, we dove headfirst into Swanson TV dinner with meatloaf and meatloaf and mashed potatoes and a almost cooked brownie. Like, it was...
Okay, so we got texts on this, as I figured we would. We'll start with John in Cortland, friend of the station. John says, brats and kraut and mustard. Okay, doing it with a brat is different than with a hot dog. Similar concept, but different concept. The brat is closer to the vehicle for that than a hot dog is. I'm still not necessarily going for it. Meal Ticket says, bet y'all didn't know that traditional sauerkraut isn't sour. Well,
the maybe slaw part.
Maybe it isn't, but the slaw has the sting to it.
The cabbage, the right, yeah. Right. Whatever you season with it, right? Whatever you want to do with it. But no, Austin.
6549 is proposing fried cheese as a hot dog bun.
Why?
Like mozzarella sticks? Taco mozzarella stick as a hot dog bun?
Listen, these
that's the address people. Jurassic Park. Your scientists were so preoccupied about whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think about whether or not they should. That's state fair stuff.
Yeah, I mean, to understand, there are people who make now, like, that's a thing, right? People will fry the cheese for the taco shell.
Yeah.
Right. And then they'll put everything in it. You know, then there are people who are now doing burgers with fried cheese as the bun, as the hold together of it.
Well, Culver's did that. They just put a big old like hash brown sized cheese curd on top of one of their burgers, which is different.
Oh, I hope you're on the stream. My body just had a physical reaction.
That was a full convulsion. That was...
Man, what are we doing? Here's Austin. Okay, so let me digress for a second. So the official definition of sauerkraut is finely shredded cabbage that undergoes a natural fermentation process involving salt and thyme, which result in a tangy sour condiment and source of, you know, probiotics for gut health, right? But it's shredded cabbage,
yes,
without the seasoning or fermentation, right? So you're not marinating it into this other
into
thing.
Juice or anything,
right? No. Like it's not. You're not pickling it. Which is a whole nother discussion of hot dog and pickle.
No, thank you.
Right, hot dog and pickle. Dill pickle or sweet relish.
You can talk me into the Chicago dog with the spear, and I'm not a pickle guy, but you can tell me that's your thing. You go with it. And I can understand relish, but I'm not touching either. I'm not a pickles guy. Like that convulsion that you had, that's me as soon as I smell a gosh darn pickle.
Like
I'm not about him.
Like I'm Virginia kid. So in corner stores, often you would have this behemoth sized jar of dill pickles that sold on the counter. Counter. And God bless you, Doc Robinson. Doc Robinson ran the pharmacy in the corner store in my neighborhood. And you had the pickled eggs.
Okay.
Dill pickles, right? Then in a separate tub, there were sweet pickle, right? And then he had this assortment of sausage in a jar, pickled, right? Which, again, let me know who my friends were, right?
Right.
Because the first time you go into Austin, you and I walking into the corner store would determine our friendship forever based on your selection.
Oh, you did that.
Oh, bro.
I know about you now.
Bro, like I need like
you told me a thing.
There. Listen, and your first adolescent girlfriend, same thing. Same thing. You could be the cutest girl in the entire elementary. But listen, sixth grade Tiffany, if we walk in there and you go to the pig's feet,
nah.
Or the pickled egg, the devil, like, no, you.
Bye.
You want no kisses.
No.
You tell me you don't want kisses without telling me you don't want kisses. bite it, go and buy and then bite into a pickled egg out of a corner store. Yeah.
Brian H. in Idaho says pickled sausage off the counter was a treat when I was a kid.
This is the marketing that we were victim to as kids, because we didn't know any better. We didn't know any better, right? That they would tell you, listen, we had deviled eggs that my grandmother put a clock on. There's a timer
dedicated to these deviled eggs.
That we are going to set these on the table at 12:30. At 12:45, they better be gone. And listen, she would rather throw them away than at 12:46, sealing them with saran wrap and putting them in her refrigerator. No, she was not going to let the bad eggs get next to the good eggs. Mm. It wasn't.
Shout out.
The only acceptable combination on a hot dog. Chili, onion, nacho cheese sauce, mayo, jalapenos, black olives, ketchup, mustard, BBQ sauce. Cubsker, kind sir, your stomach is waging a war at this very moment. There's a war going on in his intestines, like from 30 years ago.
Regardless of the combination, like really the only sane combination that he mentioned was ketchup and mustard. What? And that is, as Anthony Richardson's agent would say, questionable at best. But Cubsker, three texts before that, said, I need mayo and jalapenos on my dog. No, I promise you, you do not.
That was a backyard grill out. It wasn't a cookout and it wasn't a barbecue. But there's a teammate and his grandmother put mayo on her hot dog. She put mayo on the hot dog, and bro, I seriously, like, I hugged him. I hugged him hard because I was like, you come from crazy people. You come from crazy people, and you are seriously fighting for your own good.
Mud Dog just got in the car. Whoever's putting mayo on a hot dog needs a psyche eval.
I full disclosure, that's what it was.
Cubsker, I worked at a gas station for a year. You guys, I had to get creative.
There is not that much creation. There's not. Did you just go down the aisle and pick items randomly?
That's worse than like being a kid and getting a little bit of everything from the pop machine.
Like, you know, those people who go to the ice cream shops where you make your own sundae, mm-hmm. and the kid just goes out and he's just mixing a lot, like the candied worms
and the Oreos and the Reese's, right? And Snickers.
Just everything's going, like the cinnamon dots, like you are going to end up in therapy.
Well, here's the thing: most of those kids, I would hope, have a good mother and or father in their life that says, "Son or daughter, we pay by weight. We'll give you two as a treat." But the parents that let their kids go that far and still pay by weight. Oh, that is reckless parenting.
Well, but you, if you get the swirl and then you put those worms in, like the jellied worms in, I will smack your hand. I will just smack your hand. No. And then I'll smack your parents' hand. Bad parents.
Try again. Have another. Try again. Here's an interesting one. Meal ticket. The only way I eat a hot dog is when it's in corn dog form.
I'm not anti that.
I think it's weird to make that the only thing. I am pro corn dog, but I'm also pro hot dog.
No, look, do your thing, meal ticket. Like that. Listen, love what you love. Right. Like he has a type, man. He has a type and he is honoring the type. Like I am good with, but then
meal ticket, is it the mustard swirl? Are you dipping in ketchup? That also tells us a lot about you.
Mustard packet, single mustard packet. If you are holding the mustard
bottle
mm-hmm. and just one on, one off, like you are the multi chip dip person.
Well, I'm thinking like the state fair corn dog where they'll like do like the swirl down the corn dog. That's what I'm picturing.
I'm okay with that, but I'm also the person that like making strangers uncomfortable with their hot dog or corn dog. Like you just just catch somebody, a stranger, eating a corn dog in public, I'm just going to walk up and get like as close as I can get to your face and just stare at you.
Ham and beans. You can put anything on a hot dog. I've even put maple syrup on mine.
No. No.
There's a difference between love what you love and that.
Who hurt you? That you syrup on the okay. Now, the on the corn dog, I understand to a degree if you have cornbread and you decide to syrup on the cornbread.
Because it's cornbread or it's like the some corn of the honey meal. In it.
Corn
yeah.
meal, right?
Mm-hmm. Already a little sweet.
If you've done that, okay. Like maybe. I understand on the cornbread as a just a dab, right? Mm-hmm. But you can't then add ranch, as you said, and then syrup. You can't. The corn dog deserves better than that, right? Like, don't do both.
Disc golf Jake, we used to make fancy dogs back in college at Peru State. Hot dog with your choice of jam or jelly and melted cheese.
Stop it. Stop it. That was a frat, and you guys did weird things after dark. That's what that is. Jake!
This is going in your notes, Disc golf Jake.
We have to change your name now. We have to change your name to Fancy Dog Jake.
With a disclaimer.
With jam and jelly on the hot dog?
With melted cheese. Let's get back to Corey and Lincoln to bring us back to some measure of sanity. Coleslaw is great on a dog. It's a standard dressing for a pulled pork sandwich, so it's not a leap for another pork product. Number one, hot dogs are different than pulled pork.
Yes.
Take a look at the two of them. Tell me they are the same. They are not. Number two, hot dogs are not necessarily pork, right? There's plenty of beef.
We don't know what a hot dog is.
We don't know what a hot dog is.
We don't know that. Like we make the emotional leap for sausage.
Yes.
Right? For sausage. For brats. We would like to hope that at some point this came from a place of good origin. We don't know. We don't know.
But we give you the benefit of the doubt.
Like here's the thing. All I hear is, are you familiar with there's what's the movie? So I married an axe murderer with Michael Myers.
Oh, okay.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And there's the line. Do you link your own sausage? That's because I need to ask that. If I go to a butcher shop, that's the thing. I'm going to ask, do you link your own sausage or are you trusting somebody else? Mm-hmm. Right? Because it tells me it mattered or it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't mm-hmm. care. You don't love me if you didn't link your own sausage. You know, there's things I need to know.
This might also be the Nebraska in me showing here, DP. But I would also rather have the coleslaw on the side of my pulled pork sandwich. You know, I get that people put it on top, but I'm not a big coleslaw guy to begin with. Right? I'm the guy that, shout out to my friends at Raising Cane's, I'm going double toast instead of slaw. But if I got to be polite and there's coleslaw coming with the pulled pork, I'm having it on the side. I'm not putting it on my sandwich.
Can I ask the elephant in the room question? So we just had somebody mention Fairburn hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
Red. Mm-hmm. Is that a red dye?
I would assume so. Like, there's no way it's not.
Where's the outrage? I don't understand. I don't. What's the difference? Because okay. So poor me. The pain of having to eat a hot dog in plain bread. Again.
That's what JC said. You know, sliced white bread, maybe ketchup, hot dog. I get that.
But you couldn't put ketchup on when you had plain bread.
On the white bread.
Right. Okay. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Shouldn't do it. Can't do it. Just don't do it. Right? Fair? Don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Fair burn. It's all over the bun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not blood, but red dye.
But red. Okay. Whatever that red okay. is. Yes.
Okay. Okay. I just need to know who I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just got to know the room. I got to read the room. I'm trying to understand. Coleslaw on pulled barbecue. Now, the difference between barbecue brisket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Down the line. Mm-hmm. And somebody still has to define what the difference is. between barbecue and brisket.
Hey, Mulberry, you listening?
Right.
Bring some in tonight.
Right.
You can teach us.
We need the master's class on what defines each thing. Mm-hmm. But pulled pork slaw on the side, pulled on brisket, barbecue brisket slaw on, but it has to be a full bun and a bun of some stature. It has to has some substance to it in order for the slaw not to hold up. Not, right? It has to, right?
Okay. I'm
right,
with it.
Right?
I'm with it.
Yeah. That's where I stand on that. And then if I did, I did date a young lady once in Salt Lake City, Utah, who at a barbecue had the pulled pork and the slaw and put the slaw on
the pork
on her fork.
What?
And she also had pickle slices. And she would take a piece of the pork, a fork of the slaw,
and
the fork into the pickle, into her mouth. That date ended 47 minutes later.
But who's counting?
Couldn't wait to leave this. When we were at a lake. And the escape had to be purposeful.
Uh-huh.
But, sir, look, I called my buddy. I called Alan Handy and said, get here. Get here with your pants and shoes on fire. DP, there's an emergency at the station. You have to leave now.
8324, when it comes to the Fairbury hot dogs, you just turn a blind eye. Some things you just live and let live. We'll move on from that one. Here's this from Disc Golf Jake. He's following up on his fancy dogs, DP.
Uh-huh.
What are you guys complaining about? It's just a poor man's Monte Cristo. Nah, bruh.
Monte Cristo's... Don't poor man that. If you're going to poor man it, don't do it. Just don't do it.
Think better of it.
Just don't turn do around. It. Just don't do it. Like, you know, it's the person... You know the guy who... gets a pair of shoes with a white logo and he wants to take a marker or Sharpie and color in the logo, right, to match his high school.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Don't do it.
No, sir. Some things, if you just can't afford if you cannot afford the Converse All-Stars with the red star and stripe, you just have to wear white on white. Like, just stop it. Stop it. Don't do it.
I get your thought, but don't.
No, they're boundaries. Societies have rules, and that should be at the top of the list. If you have to draw on your shoe, you've gone too far.
Last thing, I know we're up against the break. I made a hot take at the end of Bach and the Blackshirt, DP.
Okay.
I said, I don't think Nebraska sells out of beer this season at Memorial Stadium. 0537 says, challenge accepted. 121,000 cans of alcohol going to be on hand for Nebraska.
We're
going to
do the math because they've done the math.
I assume out of the 86,000, I'm going to say 65,000 of them can drink or will.
Are you giving Nebraska families that much credit?
Maybe that's too much.
How many kids are at it? How many under, not kids, so college students being underage, and do the machines read microchips to read the ID? Because I would imagine that some fake IDism will happen.
Will at least be attempted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how many underage college students, but remember, we would have had a friend of age to consume, to
buy one for us.
To buy the beer, because you can get two at a time, right?
Yes, but don't forget they have the wristbands. So every beer that an of age friend buys for you is one less that they can add to their tally.
But you're not going in the stall to check for beer consumption. You're not going to...
Well, I think the point of the wristband is they have like the tag or whatever. You get a mark.
Right, but here's
make sure he gets two.
Well, but here's the thing. Once you purchase said beer of age person, then you hand it off to a person not of age. Remember, allegedly I did some things in my day before. So there are ways to circumvent the age issue.
Yes, yes, yes. But what I'm saying is for every beer that needs to be purchased by someone above age that then gets handed down, that's one less beer that can then be consumed by the of age person. So if you're buying two and that's your limit, just because you buy one and hand it off, my understanding is you can't go back and get a third just because you handed the other one off. It goes against your tally, which depresses the number.
What's the tally, though?
I think it's the two drink.
There's no limit. There's two at a time.
Was it just two at a time? I thought it was a two limit. Two at a limit. No, they won't sell.
Austin Norman, you go to if you decide you're going to Memorial Stadium, and we'll set the table and go to break. But if you go to Memorial Stadium, it's a two beer per purchase. That doesn't mean you're not going to buy 20 beers.
I ain't got the budget for that. I'm not spending $13 that often.
Have you met college students in Nebraska? They are creative.
I can't wait to see how creative they can get.
Yep.
Yes, I can wait. We'll go to break. More old school on the other side.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, we're back on Old School, having done a little bit of math during the break. Austin Orman, DP with you. I read the article wrong. I'll cop to that. I thought there was a limit on the number that you could purchase. I'm sure they'll have a cutoff point, whether it's after the third quarter, mid to time out of the fourth quarter, something. At least they better.
They need so you need a song. You need a song that signals, one, we're about to end beer sales, and then another song that ends beer sales. So text line, we need to figure out what those songs are.
The one that starts beer sales for me is Come a Running Boys by the Killigans, because I need about 17 beers to hear that song.
Well, to get through, right?
Don't get me
started. Can we get another song? Can we get another song?
We need touch tunes in the stadium so I can overrule it.
Can we get another song? Can they just do what they do for basketball at PBA, where they pick three songs and you get to choose one of three?
I think they do that anyways.
Right?
I think they do.
Then that should be the song. Like that.
Between quarters.
Right. Yes. Like, I mean, give me a choice, because that is not. Well, and I'm not. Listen, that song is not for me. So, okay. Same. Y'all do your thing, whatever you want to do. And then another song just says, that's it. That's it. So when I had my bar, I had a Last Call song. Mm-hmm. I had a song that was, hey, last call for beer. And then I had a song. Dennis Leary had a song that is not appropriate to say on air, the name. And it's literally the only song that he's, well, one of the only songs. We would play that. And then Niels Lofgren had a song that we would play, which signaled that it was that time. Yeah, Dennis Leary's song cannot be, the name of it cannot be said on air.
we will not say. But DP, you were doing the math on the demographics of the stadium that you found. What do you think?
Here's what we got. So based on a survey in 2022, this fan survey said that the median age of Nebraska football fans attending games was between the age of 45 and 54. Median household responds between 100,000 and 150 as the median household income. Over half the fans were between the ages of 35 and 64. 80% lived within 150 miles. And that certainly plays into it, you know, the DUI factor being a part of it. And then that 72% of those fans has a positive or neutral attitude towards selling of alcohol. So if we said 80, let's say 85,000, right?
I guess 86 because of sellout streak.
Right, 86. Yeah, I know. Blasphemer. That half of those are going to consume.
We'll give you 43,000. 43,000 people.
43,000 are going to consume. And they're going to consume. We also understand that you can multiple purchase. So you're going to get two. So every person that is going to consume is going to consume two. That takes you to 86,000
right there.
Right there. Right? Then the party harders, right? They're going to return for that third or fourth beer and consume the gap between it. Now, we also understand that beer consumption based on time of year. This we're talking all Saturday, seven Saturdays and one Friday afternoon. Black Friday, Iowa, you're going to drink because it's Iowa. You're going to drink because it's Iowa.
Who cares if it's cold? I'll still suck it.
Look, we're going to lubricate because it's Iowa. Just to be in proximity to Hawkeyes. Like, you just go, okay. Like, the beer will help get rid of the oogies. The Iowa oogies, right? But then the early games, right? The first four games at home early, those are 80 degrees plus. And just from last year's first two games where it was 95 degrees, that 120 is going to take a beat. It's going to take a beat. Maybe a little less Black Friday. Maybe, right? Because if it's 20 degrees, 15 degrees and cold, I would think that.
That's a hot cocoa day.
Yeah. You know, maybe.
Or a darker brown alcohol day.
Well, but also consider that I would imagine that that tier of sweets, the beer consumption there is going to be high no matter what.
Do you think it's going to be higher per capita in the sweets?
Yes. Yes. The numbers are one, convenient access. You don't have to walk away from the game. If you're walking to one of those spaces, you're just walking away enough. You can still hear what's going on. If you're 43rd row and you know, it's going to take some work for you to get to it and get back, you're going to do that once or twice. Now, I can say from my beer drinking and football days, RFK Stadium, one, there would be, especially younger me would have consumed six before I went into the stadium. That, because there's some chug factor going on, especially when they were winning, when Washington was winning, the chug factor went up, right? And if it was Dallas or Philly in conference, numbers go up, right? Because if it's Giants, Eagles, right? Liquid courage always plays a part of it. Michigan home game, certainly going up. First two games just to test the tires, right, Austin? You got to kick the tires and see
what we can do, see what the deal is.
See what kind of damage we can do. So the first three home games, they're going to sell out.
Eric says, it's funny you guys think they haven't been drinking in the suites this whole time. We know they have been. Well, right? We are not so naive as to think that college kids didn't already show up sloshed. Their alcohol-related incidents every year. We know the suites have their own ways.
Is that 4,000? So is the number really 125 or 130?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is maybe 150. Maybe the actual number, beer on hand, is 150. I can tell you as a former, as a sports bar owner, I knew I knew based on the group. So it's, you know, we have a Steelers fan club, and I know that they would drink more than Cowboys fans.
They drink more of than Cowboys.
Right. It was Rolling Rock. And like, I knew that I had to prepare, right? Lightning Kugel, I had to have more of that. If it was Kansas City, I knew Bud Light was gonna go. If it was New York, Miller Light. So I knew, and I knew how many I was gonna sell during that 3 hours during the game and pre and post. Yeah. And then if they won, that number went up, right? Because it would go up and you would party a little bit more. Nebraska's heavily favored in the first two home games. So the consumption is going to go up. If you walk
Michigan comes to town.
And it's going to stay up, especially if it's going well. If it's going well, 120 takes a beat. It takes a beating. And if you beat Michigan, the numbers go up. And then the next home game, numbers go up again, right? Enthusiasm is up. Goodwill is up. Austin, I think the 121 is the target, but my thought is that there's 150 in the build.
I believe it. And maybe I'm selling Husker fans short. I very well could be. It just seems like a lot. maybe I'm just coming at it from my perspective, where the most beers I've had at a game is three. And that was the Royals game I was at on Saturday, a week ago tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I had three beers, DP?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's included with the ticket. Yeah. I wasn't paying, you know, $10 a pop for it. That's a limiting factor for me. And I don't think I'm alone in that. Mississippi Mud Dog says, I'm planning to do most of my damage before kickoff. That's another thing to factor in.
Saving money.
Right.
Cheaper, I think, outside than inside.
Much. I'm curious to see the breakdown of Husker fans. I'm sure they won't, you know, self-report this information. They're always going to be that group of fans who drink before, who drink during, who drink after.
Yes.
There'll be that group of fans that drink before, that drink during, and they say, nah, I'm good for the day.
Upper class men and women will consume more.
Right. And then there's the group that says, nope, it's too expensive for me. I love going to the game, but I know I got to get it all in ahead of time. Right. There are all these different groups of people. And I don't know, in terms of demographics for Nebraska, what that breakdown looks like yet.
Well, we get to sit here at the corner of 11th and 0, and we can tell how it went. We know how the pregame tailgate went. We know how the postgame tailgate went because we see it. We see it right here in the window. Right here in the window, we can see by the people who can't walk straight, the people who put their nose up against the window, the people who put other things up against the window, and the people who walked into the middle of O Street in the middle of traffic. So we understand. I would bet that if you had sold beer, bottles of beer at the Colorado game last year, you could have sold 200,000.
How close to Boulder do you think that scene would have been if Nebraska would have done that?
100%.
All the way to Boulder?
No, all the way more, because there are more fans here than at Boulder. It's a bigger stadium here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's more people here. And with the hotels in play, at Boulder, the hotels aren't really wrapped around like it is in Memorial, like downtown Haymarket. So, yeah, I would say that for the first four games, 121, hey, man. Like, if it doesn't reach 121 for Houston Christian, it's because
people left it out.
Good news, it's 42-0, right? And that you're just – but the people who are staying at the stadium are the number – they're going to do their part, right? Because easier access, shorter lines. Yeah. I think the number, I would love to see the analytics, the data for the 121. I would imagine.
How many different cards get scanned? How many people get a wristband? You know, keep.
Yeah. That sort of thing. Like, how many, well, that's the tracking is how many bands you go through. And then you also have to keep track of who's doing the ID.
Yeah.
Right. Because they can be swayed. Right. That. For a hundo, right? Bracelets move a little quicker. They move differently.
More freely.
Right? And then it's, hey, man, scan this for me. Hey, man, there are ways to move around the system. I witnessed it in Vegas. I witnessed this in Chicago at Wrigley Field and at Raitt Field. So 120... I just think that's the standard baseline. It gives them some numbers for the ledger. But if you're selling Bud Light, if you're Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, are you going to allow a stadium to sell out, or are you going to overstock? You're going to have a bigger truck. You're going to have a couple of trucks sitting in the parking lot waiting, right? With kegs and with bottles.
Yeah.
There's zero chance that you don't have extra backup at Power 4 and Power 5 stadiums in America on game day.
No. Well, especially in the Heartland.
Yep. It's got to happen.
Someone pointed out, Corey and Lincoln, he seems to remember Nebraska selling out the 100,000 cans they had at the Garth Brooks concert. Probably a higher percentage of drinkers in that crowd, I think he rightfully notes, but it was also sold out pretty early in the night. And then James and Lincoln, yeah, I think I fall into the same camp as you. James says, then there are people like me who really only drink occasionally at holidays and with family. I will not purchase alcohol, mostly because of the cost. I think there's a lot of people like me, probably not tens of thousands, but a significant chunk. And again, that's where the not being limited to two other people will make up for, you know, for lack of a better phrase.
Well, we factored that person in the other half.
The 43,000.
Right, the other half.
Abstainers.
Right, the other half and the people, you know, designated drivers, right, in the space. And, and there's a whole nother conversation over it, the designated drivers still consuming, but only consuming one or two.
Right.
And feeling good enough.
Done at halftime.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And Nebraska's thought of a lot of this. Have they thought of all of it? We'll see. But they wouldn't have done this. I mean, as big a deal as it was for the state, they wouldn't have done it without a plan.
Well, it is. Troy Dannon, I heard him. He was a keynote at the chamber event at Memorial Stadium on Tuesday.
Thursday? Was that just Wednesday? Yesterday?
Wednesday. And he spoke to the numbers and the value of that within the space. But as JC said, the Huskers make me drink. Cheaper to do it at home, but there are people that, again, if the team is winning, all bets are off and all numbers are thrown out the window. Mm-hmm. If this team wins, all of those numbers. Listen, that stadium's never had a winning Husker team with beer in the building.
In history.
I want you to understand that have your cell phones out for the first time that building with alcohol in it has a winning Husker football team.
There's something to be said for the novelty of it.
Sir.
So, if you're drinking at home like JC, we highly recommend you pair it with something good from the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Really appreciate them, everything they do for us. It's still grilling season. It's going to be great weather this weekend. Make sure you stop by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, not just today for this weekend, but for all your Husker game day and tailgate needs. The Mercado by Certified Piedmontese will hook you up. 3 Lincoln locations and 1 up in Omaha. We'll go to break, wrap up hour 1 of Old School on the other side.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Fun stuff here in hour 1 of Old School. Austin Orman, DP with you. And I know we got just a couple minutes before we hit break. It's set up for the top of the hour where we will dive into this whole depth chart thing that Nebraska football released earlier today. But DP, even though this conversation could probably fill another hour for the two of us, Hostinson Garcia got called up today. Now, Hostinson, not necessarily the hardest name to say. Pretty difficult to spell. Hostynxon. A first name like that again. Hostinson Garcia. Mm-hmm. His nickname, The Password.
Mm-hmm.
Glorious nickname.
Beautiful.
So I ask you.
Yes, sir.
Your handful of favorite baseball nicknames.
Oh. So I'm old. And in an era, I was raised on the Washington Senators, and they had the great Warner Wolf, sports broadcast legend, calling the games. They had a third baseman that they had acquired from the Detroit Tigers by the name of Aurelio Rodriguez. And they deemed him the Senor from San Sonoro. So imagine every single play that he made, the Senor from San Sonoro. And I just thought, that is the most epic, beautiful thing. Senor Smoke, Brother Lowe, John Lowenstein.
Okay.
From the Baltimore Orioles, Brother Lowe. Brother Lowe. Big Bird, Tim Stoddard, who was a reliever for the Orioles, who was also a starter on the second best college basketball team I ever saw at NC State with David Thompson, Tom Burleson, Monty Tau, and Tim Stoddard at the small forward.
And Big Bird is different than Mark the Bird.
Mark Fidrich. The Bird Fidrich. Had his own, I want to, The nickname part of it usually went to pitchers and closers. You know, the Dan Ossie, the fireman.
The Mexicutioner for me, Joaquin Soria, right, Mexican heritage.
Right, to go through.
Catfish Hunter.
Well, Jim oil Catfish can Hunter, oil can was legitimate. You know, there was another bird in Pascal Perez.
Yep.
Who was just kind of all over the place. I always loved the traditional names like the captain, with Terry Pendleton and company.
Tulane Tanner says the Mad Hungarian.
Al Raboski, the Mad Hungarian. Again, relievers kind of led the way. It was a part of the marketing and rebranding of the position. Mm-hmm. Starters, really, you know, Bill Spaceman Lee, who was just
the spaceman,
wackadoodle, just but brilliant in its space. Regular players really just kind of stayed away from it,
which is where it's really cool. Like you can say the Splendid Splinter,
yes,
you know what I'm talking about, the Say Hey Kid.
Well,
you can say the kid. You know who I'm talking about. That's the beauty of baseball nicknames.
The 40s, 50s, 60s. I mean, Babe. His name's not Babe.
No.
His name's Herman.
Herman. George Herman.
Like,
Herman,
you know, yeah, like you had to get you had to get through and learn those. But that was a part of the mystique of the American pastime, was being able to give personality to players you didn't see. You didn't see them. Like you didn't. It's not like today where you look, we have on the clock, we're going to go see the Kansas City Royals, and you can see the players. No, there was some mystique. You had to listen to them on the radio and get names from people and give personality to them. It just didn't. My first baseball hero was Hondo. But he was the Washington Monument. Frank Howard.
Frank Howard,
who, indeed. He was the Washington. I mean, he had several nicknames, but the Washington Monument was the one that stuck the most. And you had to be good. That certainly didn't hurt. If you were good, Washington Senators didn't have a lot of good players.
They're the cool, fear-inducing, this dude's a stud nicknames.
Yes.
And they're the ironic, we got to call you something because of who you are nicknames.
Yeah. The name sometimes played into it.
Always that.
The name, if you had a cool name, that certainly played into it. But I want to, hold on, let me go through. They will say
we got Burt Be Home by Levin.
Well, so that gets into the ESPN era of Chris Berman giving names.
And that's its own separate category.
Right. That Ryan Express to go through the Man of Steel, Ricky Henderson.
Right.
But yeah, no, I loved the ones that came out of nowhere.
Let's pause the 10
penguin,
seconds.
The right. Penguin Ronce.
Obviously.
Yeah, go through.
Let's pause 10 seconds for ID. We'll wrap this up real quick on the other side.
Yep.
This is Lincoln's home for sports talk on the FM dial. Also online at theticketfm.com.
On the internet.
KNTK FM Firth, 93.7 The Ticket.
Like I said, I should have known better, but here we go because it's fun.
Right. Like we'll go through Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, yep.
Right. Big unit, big hurt. Those are ones that dance. Of course, the Say Hey Kid, Hammer and Hank was its own. Thor, I didn't really buy into. Sandman, I didn't buy into. But
he's Mo. He's not Sandman. He's Mo.
Right. But here's Toy Cannon, the Toy Cannon Jimmy Wynn, and I'm a member of that club because if you ever saw him hit a baseball, you thought he was a giant till you met him. And then he was not, he was like 5'8".
Proto Altuve?
Yes. Crime Dog, yep. Fred McGriff. Love that. Of course, Mr. October, The Wiz, Shoeless Joe.
But did you call Reggie Mr. October, like, in conversation? You did?
Well.
Because, like, no, that to me is more a moniker than a nickname.
That was earned. Big Poppy was earned.
The Wizard, Ozzy.
Yep. Cool Papa Bell.
Iron Horse.
Right. All earned in the space. Of course, you know, that Satchel wasn't Satchel.
Leroy.
Right? It wasn't that. And then one that we would make fun of in my era, because he was actually a skipper in DC, but Mike Hargrove. They called him the human rain delay because his in-between pitch process was 38 seconds long. Like, tug the pants, back of the back of the jersey, adjust the glove, get the ring on it, right? Touching both shoulders, touch the bill of the cap, digging in, one, two, twist the hip. Yeah. He was his own.
That is incredible. Keep your best baseball nicknames coming in, 402-464-5685. That is our Sartor Heyman Jewelers text line. We're a little late to break. We'll do that, go over some more of your nicknames and the Husker football depth chart on the other side.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Big news! Wayfair's end-of-season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end-of-season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.